Acts chapter number 2, we're beginning now to look at several verses of Scripture that we find is the first sermon. Think about this now. This is the first sermon in the Christian church. The church was established by Christ and his disciples at Pentecost, but Jesus, of course, empowered at Pentecost, and Jesus obviously did a lot of teaching and preaching. But here we see Peter standing up and giving, other than the teaching of the Lord, we see Peter giving the first sermon. And it comes down to verse number 22, as we said, hear these words, hear these words. The apostles have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They have been telling people the good news of the gospel. Everyone heard the message in their own language, and we've covered that in the last few weeks. However, not everyone listening was convinced that what was taking place was something other than beyond somebody that had too much to drink. Look at verse 12 and 13. And the Bible says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? You know, the speaking in tongues. And it isn't what you might think of, what you think of today. Tongues means languages. This was 2 weeks ago we talked about this. Tongues means languages, but there was speaking taking place, and everybody in those nations was hearing it in their own language. Not in some unknown babbling of tongue that people think. No, that's not tongue speaking. Okay? This is a known language. And so they said there, what is this? And others said in verse 13, these men are full of new wine. In other words, these men have had one too many. And that's where we picked up our reading, and we're going to jump into that in just a minute. So Peter decides, okay, this mocking has gone on, and so now it's time for Peter to open his mouth. Peter was known for that. In some ways, it was very effective. And in other ways, he would open his mouth, and it wouldn't be as effective. But he got right with the Lord, amen. He denied him 3 times, got that right, and look who we see God is using in a mighty way. God can use anyone who is surrendered to him as a voice. God can use anyone that is willing to be used of the Lord. And so Peter stands up and he preaches this great sermon. And even yet to this point, they weren't even called Christians. That's yet to happen. And that's coming up later on. But Peter preached. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did Peter preach? He preached the Word of God. Isn't it pretty basic that what we need in 2020 is the exact same thing they needed in the beginning of the New Testament church? Peter didn't say, now guys, just quit talking. Let me tell you something. No, he says, let me tell you what Joel said. And what was Joel to Peter? That's the Word of God that Peter had. Even many of these religious people would have known about the Old Testament writings at this point. And so Peter preaches the Word of God. And starting in verse 16, he quotes from Joel 2, 28 to 32. Joel 2, 28 to 32. You may write that down. You may look at it in your own time. The preaching of God's Word is what they needed in Acts 2, and the preaching of the Word of God is what we need today in 2020. Acts 5, 42, the Bible says daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. Did you see that? They went everywhere philosophizing. No, they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. This is a calling forth, not necessarily just shouting, but a speaking forth of the Word of God. Preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. The Bible says there of the Apostle Paul, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. You know, we do far better for this world in which we live in when we say this, God's Word says. Not let me tell you something. Or if you say that, say right after that, let me tell you something what God's Word says. I think it's a lot more authoritative to say the Word of God says, and that's what Paul said, to preach the Word of God, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness. I'll be very careful here. But I had someone call me this week brokenhearted. Brokenhearted over a family member that had passed away. And this gentleman was, he was brokenhearted on the phone with me. Brokenhearted. And he said, I got saved in 2018. And for the last 2 years, I've been witnessing to my dad. And every time I would witness to my dad would just push it away and push it away and push it away. He didn't want anything to do with it. Pastor Turner, my dad died this morning. Sobbing over the phone. And I pray that dad had made a decision to trust Jesus Christ. And I tried to comfort this young man and say, well, you know, we can't pray for your dad anymore. Whatever your dad did with the Lord is already decided. It's between him and the Lord. I tried to give him some comfort in that because that's really the only thing we can say. But here's the bottom line. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It was in Paul's day. It is in this day. I mean, we have people on mainline news networks in these days saying that Jesus Christ wasn't perfect. It just happened this week. You can see for yourself. The CNN newscaster this week had the audacity to say, and we know that Jesus Christ was not perfect. We know that he made mistakes. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. Blasphemy. That's the day in which we live. Why? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We don't preach for the lost necessarily. You know that, right? Look what Paul said. But unto us which are saved, to me, this is why for the last 19 plus years, we are preaching the Word of God. I am preaching the Word of God because you that are listening today, many of you are saved. And you know what we need? We need the power of God. We need the unction from on high. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God to go out into the highways and byways. Yes, to reach the lost. But the preaching of the Word of God is power to us who are saved. And so I don't preach primarily to win the lost. I preach for power, for me, for the saved, to go forth and reach the lost. Today on the way in, I heard People Need the Lord. I haven't heard that song in a while. Yeah, a gentleman was singing it at Temple Baptist Church, Val, Tennessee. And boy, I tell you what, the words, the lyrics, I'm not going to think of them right now, but they are so applicable to right now. I don't know when that song first came on the scene, but I remember I've heard it many, many times through the years. I remember I used to hear it almost every missions conference, but I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, boy, I hadn't heard it in a while, and boy, I tell you what, it kind of broke me. Every day they pass me by. They need the Lord. They don't know where they're going. They're missing something. But who do they need to be on fire for God? Who do they need to have the joy of the Lord? Who do they need to not be discouraged and downhearted? No. They need people like you and me who call ourselves Christians to have the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that comes by the preaching of God's Word. And so Peter is preaching the prophet Joel. Amen. What gave power? Preaching. What gives power today? Preaching. What gives us unction? The Holy Spirit of God. Preaching of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2. The Bible says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. Tell you what, we need that today. We need preaching. We need Bible preaching. We don't need opinionated preaching. We need Bible preaching. How and what does Peter preach? I believe we learn a lot from these verses of how we should be preaching the gospel. Yes, we should be preaching the gospel. I am a pastor, I am an under-shepherd, but I'm not the only one who should be preaching the gospel. This would include but not be limited to pastors and teachers. So, let's go through these. Number one. How did Peter preach the Word of God? Number one, it's not in our text that we read today, but I don't think we can ignore it. We have to go back in time. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the who? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Number one, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. How did he preach the Word of God? He preached the Word of God when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you this right now. I'm not saying it to be boastful. I'm not saying it to hopefully you think less of me. But I have to admit today that I haven't preached the Word of God every time for 19 plus years filled with the Holy Spirit as I ought to have been. And that's not the way it ought to be, right? Every time we preach the word of God, every time we leave our homes, every time we enter our place of employment, every time we enter that school, every time we go into the store, this isn't about coming to Sunday church. This isn't about coming to Wednesday night Bible study. This is about going out into this wicked old world. We need preachers, men and women, not just the pastors. We need preachers, men and women of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need daddies to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God as they preach and teach to their children. We need mamas to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God as they preach and teach to their children. We need single adults to be filled with the Spirit of God as they preach to those they come in contact with. And on it goes. Peter preached. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Paul says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know this, and I know this. But how often do we live every day in the power of ourselves? I'll tell you what, our preaching is not going to be very strong when we're living in the power of ourselves. When you're filled with the Spirit, and I'm filled with the Spirit, that's when there's power. Number one, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, let's get into our text now. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up, can you see that? Standing up. I think every word in the Bible is perfectly placed and with purpose. Standing up. You know, I had to preach one time sitting down years ago when I had a major gout attack. Many of you weren't a part of Anchor Baptist Church because this is a long time ago. I think this was before even the Pastor Nathan and his family were here. I just got back from traveling from the States, and I didn't know what was happening. Brother Tony, I did not know what was happening. My foot was on fire. I didn't know I had gout. I didn't even know what was going on. I just knew I had this big, huge foot. My foot was, I couldn't even wear my shoe. And you know what? On that Wednesday night, I had to preach from a chair. And by the way, if I have to preach from a chair, I'll preach from a chair. I'm not saying it's wrong to preach from a chair. I'm just saying Peter wasn't preaching from a chair. Peter wasn't on a stool. He was standing up. And I want to stand up for Jesus as long as I can. And if I someday have to sit down, I still want to stand up on the inside for Jesus. Standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken men as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Standing up, this was to show, standing up, that phrase, standing up, to show that he was not drunk. Look, I'm okay, I'm not drunk. Standing up to confront those who were contradicting the events that had just taken place. Standing up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Standing up in honor and respect for what he was about to say and what he was about to do. Peter preached with boldness and clarity. Number two, he preached with boldness and clarity. The Bible says, notice there, that he lifted up his voice. This is as one that had been assured of what? Assured of. This is as one that had been assured of what he was about to say. You know, when you are assured of something, you have much more boldness to say it. When you're not really sure about something, and I'm raising my hand, we're not, I mean, we might say it. But Brother Barry, we might not say it with as much. But Peter was assured of what he was about to say. And not only that, he was not only assured of it, but he was affected by it. You see, when this word gets in me, it affects me. When this word gets in you that are here and you that are there, it affects you. How does it affect you? With boldness and clarity. It's not me. It's not you. It's the Word of God giving us that boldness to stand up and to lift up our voice. Boldness and clarity. He preached with boldness. What do we need today? We need men. We need ladies who will let the Word of God get in them and be assured of it. And be confident of it. By the way, you can be confident in the Scriptures. You can be confident in the Word of God, the promises of God, the yeas and the nays and the do's and the don'ts. We can put our hope in it and our assurance in it. Why? Because in many cases, many of us, most of us, if not all of us, there are reasons why we have been affected by it. You know what? I've been affected by this book. If it wasn't for this book right here, I may not even be alive today. If it wasn't for this book right here, I wouldn't be saved today. If it wasn't for this book right here, there'd be no Anchor Baptist Church. You wouldn't be hearing, not from me, but from God today. Look, we have been affected by the Word of God. Because we have been affected, we, like Peter, need to go with boldness, clarity. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, you're either filled with the Holy Spirit or you're filled with self. There's no third option. We're either living in the power of the flesh or the power of the Spirit. I want to live in the power of the Spirit. How about you? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, Peter preached with boldness and clarity. Number three, look at verse 14. I love this thought. Standing up, notice, with the 11. That ought to encourage you. I read that over and over again, with the 11. With the 11. Number three, Peter worked together with other disciples. What are we saying? We're saying, what can we learn from Peter's preaching? We're saying, well, how does Peter preach? Preaches with the Holy Spirit power, preaches with boldness and clarity, but he's not on an island. He's not by himself. He's with 11 other men. He's with 11 other brothers, amen? He's with 11 other soldiers. He's with 11 other servants of the Lord. He's with 11 other members of the troop, whatever you want to call them. Whatever title you want to give, Peter's not alone. He worked together with the disciples. Pastor Chappell said this, God never intended for his children to minister in isolation from each other. Jesus sent out disciples two by two for a reason. There is strength and unity, and we need to be encouraging others in their preaching and witnessing efforts. Isn't that wonderful? God never intended for Anchor Baptist Church to serve in isolation from each other. I'm thankful for the other Bible preaching churches that are in the Lower Mainland. Some still do not have a building to meet in. They're doing live stream only. They're meeting in unusual places. They're meeting here. They're meeting there. They're doing whatever they can to continue to preach the Word of God with clarity and with boldness. Recognizing that it's not about our building of a kingdom named Anchor Baptist Church. We're building the kingdom of God, but we're not doing it alone. He preached with 11 other disciples. Think about it. You know, as a younger man, I used to think, you know, I've got to go out and I've got to blaze a trail and I've just got to be this and be that. No, hey, there's other people out there living for the Lord. There's other pastors out there that want to help. There's other preachers that want to encourage. I want to be one of those encouraging men. I want to be one of those. I'm not saying we're compromising and lowering our standards and all that. I'm just saying, look, Peter, don't miss those words, with the other disciples, with the 11. You see it? Don't miss it. With the 11, verse 14, Mark 6, 7 says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. Burnaby is not going to be reached by one church. Burnaby is not going to be reached by one pastor. Burnaby is not going to be reached by one Christian. Burnaby is not going to be reached by two churches. Vancouver is not going to be reached with the gospel with a handful. No, we must strive together for the faith of the gospel. This is how Peter preached. He didn't run away from the other 11 and say, I've got to go over here and do my own thing. No, he stood up with the other 11. Now, one man stood up and preached, yes, but he wasn't alone. He worked together with the disciples. I'm so thankful that we've been able to, for these last 19 plus years, to work together with Metro Baptist Church. Now, Metro Baptist Church is here in Burnaby, and they're doing a great work for the Lord. They've been meeting over here at this elementary school, and because of everything going on, obviously they haven't been meeting there since March sometime, and they don't know when they're going to get back in there. And they're doing live streaming. They're doing other things and trying to continue on for the Lord, moving forward by faith. And Pastor Mackay is a dear friend of mine. In fact, we're in an office right now that we have shared with Pastor Mackay and Metro Baptist Church for, I don't know, probably 12 years. Maybe longer. Yeah, it's longer than that now. You know what? And I'm not saying anything about him and I, but that's kind of rare. I know of another situation where a couple of pastors share an office here in the Lower Mainland, independent Baptist men. Praise the Lord for that. All I'm saying is this. Look, folks, it's not about having a kingdom here. It's about building the kingdom of God, and we must work together. We're on the same team. I'm not holding hands with the Catholics. That's not what I'm talking about. Forgive me. Okay, I'm not talking about holding hands with compromisers of doctrine and so forth. I'm saying there are people that hold to the doctrine like we do, the true, pure doctrine of the Word of God, and we've got a lot to work on, folks. Let's face it. We as a church, we have so much to work on. I mean, I want to work together with those that are trying to please the Lord, don't you? That's what Peter did. I'd like to learn some more from that. Peter worked together with the disciples. Then, number four. We've mentioned it already, but we want to emphasize it again. Peter preached the Word of God. Verses 16 to 21. This was not Peter's words. This was not John's words. This was Joel's words. It was the Word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We might think today, what else would he preach? Well, you know, I'm just going to be very careful, but, you know, I remember hearing this many times when I was listening to preaching. And again, I'm trying to be very appropriate and kind, but we would read the Bible, and then I was told to close the Bible and just listen. Well, you know, that's all good and well, but I've never been that kind of a preacher. I think you ought to have your Bible open. I think I ought to have my Bible open because why? Because this is what we need to preach. This is what we need to live. Now, if you know somebody that says that, I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying, what was Peter going to tell these people to help them? What was Peter going to preach to have thousands saved at the end of the sermon? The Word of God. The Word of God. Notice it says there in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." The last days. Now in Joel, when Joel preached this, again, I gave you that passage, Joel 2:28 to 32. Joel was referring to the coming of the Messiah. Because obviously when Joel is preaching, right, he's preaching looking ahead. He hasn't come yet. Peter is telling them that the Messiah has already come. And we know that today to be the case. We're not looking ahead for the Messiah to come. Unfortunately, some people believe that Jesus was not the Messiah, and they're still waiting on the Messiah to come. We believe, according to the Word of God, that Jesus was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Messiah. He is God, robed in human flesh. And the Bible says in verse number 17 there, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons shall and your daughters shall prophesy, and so forth. The last days. Jude verse 4. Sorry, I lost my place there. Turn to Jude verse 4. Jude verse 4. The Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Denying the only Lord God, crept in unawares. You know what? Just because somebody opens up a Bible, now again, we're preaching the Word of God, but you've got to listen with discernment. You know, the devil knows how to use the Word of God and twist it. The devil knows how to come in and with mainly truth, add a little bit of error. And that's exactly what it's talking about here in Jude verse 4, that there are men that crept in and tainted the doctrine. I don't know if I read this or where I saw this, but loud preaching doesn't make it right or godly. It must be biblical. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit louder, maybe. I don't mean to be necessarily because of, it's just that's who I am. But I've heard other preachers who are basically the same tone the whole time. And they give me the goods. It doesn't matter about the personality of the preacher. What matters is the Scriptures. And are they being rightly divided? Peter preached the Word of God. One more. Number five. Really, to me, this is the crux of the matter. Peter preached what he personally witnessed. He preached what he personally witnessed. Now, he preached what Joel wrote, but he also preached what those scriptures and his own sight, because again, he had a little bit of advantage, at least in the sense of he didn't have the New Testament, but he did have the opportunity, to see Christ, right? Who is the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God, but here he is in human form. Peter saw him. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Peter says, you have no excuse. You saw the miracles. I saw the miracles. You wondered. You saw the miracles and wondered, but don't miss the signs, okay? Let me explain to you a few words here. First off is this word miracles. Miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is performing something contrary to the course of nature. All right? For instance, when Jesus fed the 5 and the 4,000, that was a miracle. You can't take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5 to 15,000 people without producing some more fish or some more bread or doing something miraculous, right? You can't take water in Cana at that wedding, and very first miracle, and say, okay, just fill the pots up with water and it become the best grape juice they've had all day long. It can't happen. That's a miracle. Performing something contrary to the course of nature. So that's the word miracles. Secondly, notice the word wonders. Wonders. What are wonders? Wonders are marveling at what takes place in the soul of man when he sees the miracle. Okay? You know, if you're there in the 15,000 people and you hear that there was only one lad with one lunch with 5 loaves, and we're not talking about Subway footlong loaves. Maybe they were close to that size. I don't know. But and 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and we're not talking about sockeye salmon. The guy wouldn't have had sockeye salmon in his lunch sack, okay? Talking about probably pretty small fish, unless he had a really big lunch bag. And you heard, you're sitting there, and your tummy is full. And you hear, oh, by the way, did you know that all this food came from 5 loaves and 2 fishes? You know what happens? You begin to wonder. Here's what I call it. It's the wow factor. That's wonder. Wow. What? Are you kidding me? You see, the miracles, Peter is saying, you saw the miracles and you experienced the wonder. You saw all these things and you begin to wow over the power, signs. Okay? See the words? Miracles, wonders, signs. What are signs? Signs are this: God's intent in the miracle. What is God's intent in the miracle? Here it is. To bring the people to understand that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Right? That's what they said. Because that's the sign. That's what God wanted them to know. God wanted them to know not just that somebody could take a bunch of bread and fish and, you know, boom, feed 15, 20,000 people. No, but there's something different about this man. For no man ever spake like this man. No man ever did this. No man ever said this. Our heart burned within us. You see, that's the sign part of it. Peter preached this way, and Peter said, you saw the miracles and you wondered. Don't miss the sign, though. Peter saw all of that. Look at verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him, by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter preached about the death of Jesus Christ. Notice this phrase, determinate counsel. What is this? Jesus was the Lamb of God. I've said it a couple times. Jesus was the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Here's the determinate counsel: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were the determinate council. And before time began, God knew, unbelievable, blows your mind, right? God knew that Adam would sin, Eve would sin, and the determinate council had all of this. That's why it says right there, it was before ordained by, it was delivered by the determinate, he was delivered by the determinate council and the foreknowledge of God. The determinate council. Wow. Verse 24. And it shall come to pass that whom God hath raised up, whom God hath raised up. You know, somebody sent me a text this week, and if you're watching, good one. This person sent me a text and said, is the resurrection part of the gospel? And I said, of course it is. And he wasn't picking, he wasn't being rude, he wasn't being anything. He just said, I don't see it mentioned very often on the tracts. He's right. But the resurrection is part of the gospel. That's something for us to really think about, isn't it? And maybe it's on ours, maybe it isn't. But Jesus, if he's not alive, we don't have a gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. We can't leave it out. He's alive. He saw the risen Lord. He heard him speak. Yes, he denied him before he died. And yes, he saw him after the fact. And yes, he went fishing. And yes, he needed to get his coat on out there. And yes, he was discouraged, but he came back to the Lord. I've never seen the risen Lord with my eyes. You've never seen the risen Lord with your eyes. But you, like Peter, have witnessed his presence in your life. You see, Peter preached what he personally witnessed. Our lives were eternally changed by his power. If you're saved today, you're saved because of the power of the gospel. If you're not saved right now, if you're on your way to hell, if you don't know Jesus, it means you're on your way to hell. I trust today that you'll turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher. Author meaning he's the one who gives you the opportunity to be saved. He finished it when he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Our love for the world should be weakening by His Spirit. Oh, if we are saved, then our love for this old world, which is passing away by the second, our love for the world should be decreasing, and our love for Him should be increasing by the power of His Spirit. My life is no longer mine to control. My lips should speak of Him often. Why? Because I've witnessed something. I am an eyewitness of God's grace in my life. There's something to preach about. There is personal and there is pulpit preaching. Some will be part of both, but all will be part of personal preaching of the Word of God. Every child of God needs preaching, Bible preaching. Every child of God is a preacher. Here we learn from Peter. What can we learn from his sermon? They're there for you on the screen. I won't read them all. Most importantly, this. Our message must always be filled with the Word of God. This is where you can find the hope for eternal life. God's Word. This is where you can find the help you need for everyday life now. Right here. Humble yourself today. Trust Christ as your Savior. Humble yourself today and recognize anew and afresh this book is alive and it gives us power. What have you witnessed God do in your life? It's there. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you for listening today. Hear these words. I'm speaking of the Bible. as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I don't want you to hear the pastor. I want you to hear the words of God. Hear these words. It's what Peter said. You've seen the miracles. You've experienced the wonder. Don't miss the signs. Don't miss the signs. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. If you're listening right now and you're not saved, you don't need to be baptized. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to come to Jesus. His arms are wide open. You say, Pastor, we're not in church right now. I need to go to church. You don't need to go to church to be saved. You need to go to Jesus to be saved. You could be saved right now. You can go to your knees if you're able to right now and call on the Lord and be saved. It's between you and the Lord. What about you, dear Christian? Hey, we need your help. Peter preached and stood up beside the other 11. Why don't you be one of the other 11? See, I could have never been the one to stand up and start preaching, but you could have been one of the other 11. You could be one of the 11 today. Many of you are. Many of us are. I don't claim to be a Peter, by the way. Just let me watch over a door. What the Bible says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper the house of my God. There's room in the service of the Lord for you. There's no time for delay. The people that are lost need to hear these words. And we have the words of life. Let's preach.